All right, we're going to be reading 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 2, if you'd like to follow Paul, an apostle of Christ by Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now have been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and apostle and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells with us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightfully handling the word of truth. But avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. I will pass it over to Roger for announcements.
Thank you, Micah. That was good. This week we have our Monday night meeting. Tuesday, the men pray over the homes, and Wednesday, you ladies will gather on a Zoom. Val wants to come up and make another announcement, so let's give her a sec to come up front, get in front of a microphone.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Is that okay? All right. We've been having some sound issues, but our tech team is on it. So thank you for your patience. I just want to remind everybody again, if you weren't here last week, that we tentatively have a date for family camp, which is June 25th, 26th, 27th, and 28th. I want to read something to you and encourage you that if you want to be a part of that planning process where we discern together what the Lord would have us share with our children, there's still some openings. So we're going to start on Saturday, but I just wanted to encourage you. So this is the command from the Lord out of Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is the body of Christ, and all of you love the Lord. All of you have seen his hand move in mighty, mighty ways, and our children and our grandchildren and our nieces and nephews need to know that. And camp is a great opportunity to do that. We have the time to do that, to talk about them when we spend 4 days together. So if it's on your heart and you haven't spoke up yet, please do. I encourage you. It's a great process. And we'll be starting doing that. There are several people who have already stepped forward. So we're going to start that on Saturday. So just give me a call if that's on your heart to do. Thank you.
Cool. Thank you, Val. Okay, before we get started, why don't we go ahead and pray? Father, we thank you for this time to come together. Again, we ask that your Holy Spirit would be present, Father. Give us ears to hear that we might look within and remember who we are. In Christ's name, amen.
You can open up to Ephesians chapter 4 if you would like. So where we started last week, we'll start here this week too. And just to remind you, we talked last week about the body of Christ, the church, but not the body of Christ as a label or a name. The body of Christ is the actual physical Jesus who is here among us. So, yes, 2,000 years ago, you saw an individual man, singular person, walking around. You know, if you choose to believe it, he was the Son of God. He was a part of the Trinity. He died, his spirit was raised, he went to heaven. He sits right now at the right hand of God. And if you know him, so do you. You sit there also. But you also are here. And you're here, and you and I, we are the actual body of Jesus Christ, not just the body of Christ, like the label, the name of the church or Crockett Christian Fellowship. No, we are this group of people sitting here All of us up north, we are the body of Jesus, and we perform the same functions as Jesus did. So we are, when you come together, when we come together like this, we're not coming together just with Kevin or Alex or whomever. I'm coming together with Jesus. That's what I'm doing when I come here. Now, do you look like Jesus in my mind? Would I imagine Jesus to look like? You do not. But the spirit in you, the spirit within you, the gifts that you have been given, the grace that you have been given, and that's what we'll talk about for a few minutes, is the exact same grace in giftments spirit that Jesus had, and that's the part that is the body of Christ. So, body of Christ, we use that term all the time, referring to the church, but the body of Christ is actually Jesus Christ. He's here and it's us. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read a little bit about this. Ephesians 4, verse 7 says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. Please go down to verse 11 in the same chapter. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people, that's all of us, for works of service so that the body of Christ, okay, and the body of Christ, or body in my scripture anyway, in my book, and I don't know what it looks like in yours, isn't capitalized. It's small body. It's the actual physical body of Christ, so that the body of Christ, hang on 1 second, may be built up, so that we may be built up, all of us, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Do you guys, can you guys put that slide up we used last week? If you can't, that's okay, but if you can, you got it? Let's look at that real quick. So when I read the word grace, like I just did to you, and we're going to read it a few more times right now, but I just want you to see this. I'm sorry that I didn't mention that already, guys. So what that word, when I read grace, here's what it means. It means God's graciousness, you know, his bounty, his love for us, especially his divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in our lives, particularly with gratitude. So God's grace causes our hearts to be grateful. It causes our hearts, it's just his divine influence. I mean, you imagine, I'm not going to try to define that for you, but that's what it means. When we read grace now, that is what it's going to say. Why don't you turn, please, to Acts chapter 20. Acts 20. So what are we talking about right now? Well, we're talking about a couple of things, but one of the things that we're talking about is the fact that this gathering of people actually is Jesus Christ, not the concept of Jesus. This actually is Jesus. This is what he looks like now on earth. In heaven, he looks different. I don't know what he looks like in heaven. We can read it together. I can describe what it says in the Bible, but I think seeing it with our eyes would be a little bit different, okay? When he was on earth, when he walked on earth, he walked as a person, as an individual. He looked like the rest of the people. He did incredible things, but he looked like every other person, okay? Raised in heaven, he looks different. But what he looks like now on earth is this. He looks like us. And I just really, this is really important to understand so that we realize that as we come together, each the different parts that we bring together, the gifts that we bring in, the grace that God's given us, and He gives to each one of us different amounts of grace, different types. Not amount like this, amount like what He deems I need in order for my gifts, my engiftments, to become functional, right? That's part of it. There's more to it than just that. Grace is also our salvation, so that we don't think that through works we become saved. No, I can't be good enough to be saved. I can't do something. It's through the grace of God, that graciousness thing that we just read a second ago. So let's read this now. Acts chapter 20, verse 22 says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem." This is Paul talking. "I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me." Now, that's the reality of Paul's life right there. That's what he's walking into. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." That thing we just read up there, God's grace, that we just read it. Paul's whole life was, he just said it to us. I'm not telling you. He just said, my task is to, and I don't care if I'm walking into hardships because of this. I don't care what happens to my life. My task is to testify to that definition. Okay, and not only that, but I mean, it's greater than that, but to testify to God's graciousness and His divine influence on me. Paul was going out to testify to God's divine influence and to the way it affected him and the way it affected gratitude within him. That was his task, because it says it right here. "I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task of testifying to that." Simple. It keeps it really simple, doesn't it? Let's keep reading. "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today, I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim the whole will of God." That's a really important thing. Paul said, "I proclaimed the whole will of God." If you are available on Monday nights right now, it's being shared with us about a piece of that will of God. And it's a really good, important, sometimes obscure, but it's a part of the grace that's been given to us. And so I only say that because I would strongly encourage you to be there on Monday nights to hear the teaching. That's coming from the Holy Spirit, not from a person. Okay? So if you want to show up and see Jesus Christ tomorrow night, it won't be the person talking. It'll be the whole group of people that are there. You'll see Jesus again tomorrow night. And if somebody said to you, "Hey, Jesus is going to be in, Richmond on 23rd Street tomorrow night." I mean, real, like the Jesus, he's going to come down from heaven. He's going to be there. If you want to see Jesus show up, I'm betting a lot of people would be there. I'm just telling you, the same thing's going to happen tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. It's happening right now. It's going to happen again tomorrow night. Come see what he has to say to us. Come see what he looks like, right? He'll look a little bit different tomorrow night. He just will, because it'll be a different piece of grace, a different bit of wisdom and understanding that will be getting shared with us from a different voice, from different gifts, from different grace. That's, you want to see that piece of Christ. You want to see this piece of Christ. I wanted to see the piece of Christ I saw in Sunday school this morning, and it was great. I wanted to see the piece of Christ that got shared with through Micah a few minutes ago. We want to see all of it. See, Jesus Christ is here. He's living and he's breathing. The living, breathing Word of God. I mean, where do you think the living, breathing Word of God comes from? You think it's because I'm standing here talking? No. Jesus Christ is talking to us. It's the living, breathing Word of God, and we want to hear it, right? That's what we're doing here. Verse 28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God. Shepherds is a great word, because when you and I think of shepherds, I don't know what you think of. I'll tell you what I think of. I think of some guy with a staff out in the field with a bunch of, you know, little sheep kind of cruising around. He's trying to keep them together. He's trying to lead them to the right place so they can eat and have a drink. And so it sounds very peaceful and wonderful, and I love it. Okay. Being a shepherd isn't exactly like that in the kingdom of heaven. Okay. Sometimes it is. It's great like that. And sometimes it's not exactly like that. But what the Lord just told us all, everybody sitting here, be shepherds of the kingdom of heaven and of the flock of the Lord. That's our charge. That's a part of our charge. Everybody here, be shepherds of what he's given you, your calling. Be a shepherd over your calling. Do you understand? Do you know? I know you do. I'm saying it anyway. You have to protect your calling. You have to fight to protect your calling, because Satan is beating on us all the time to try to get us to not fulfill our calling. Why? Because when we get to heaven, one of the things the Lord is going to say is, Dave, I gave you these talents, this grace, these gifts. Did you multiply them? And did you multiply them the way I said? Or did you not? The Lord places us where he sees fit. He didn't place me where I see fit. He doesn't put me where I think I'm supposed to be. He put me where he wants me. And to be there and to remain there is not always easy to do. So be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Please turn to Romans chapter 12. We only have a couple more. Just a couple more scriptures. We'll be all finished here, okay? Romans chapter 12. We're talking about the living, breathing body of Christ. That's what this is. Jesus Christ is here. We are among Jesus Christ. Every body of believers is like that, okay? If you're among a body of believers, wherever you are, it's the actual living, breathing Jesus Christ. We get kind of full of ourselves and think, oh, it's me. You know, it's about, you know, I mean, it's kind of about us. You know, we've got this group of people. No, it's Jesus Christ. That's what's drawing us together. Romans 12, verse 4. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we are who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. That's us. We belong to the others. Dee belongs to Sherry. Zach belongs to Mike. The way, that's what it says. I'm not telling you who you belong to. You belong to who you think you should. I'm telling you what this just said. Okay? And conversely, Sherry belongs to Dee. Mike belongs to Zach, right? What does that mean? It means Mike, whether Mike and Zach, I don't really know their relationship. I really don't know it very well, okay? They've known each other for the most part their whole lives. I don't know exactly what their physical interaction connection is. But I do know this because it just said it. Zach belongs to Mike. In the spirit, Zach belongs to Mike. What does that mean? That means that if Zach hurts, Mike should hurt. If Zach rejoices, Mike should rejoice, and vice versa. Okay, so what do you do for people that you're that close to? Hopefully, you're paying attention to each other. Hopefully, you're taking care of each other. Hopefully, you're doing what you need to for each other. Right? And I'm just kind of picking on them right now. I could use me and somebody else, but that's what this is, right? That's what it's supposed to be. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what it's supposed to be. I talked to you last week. I mentioned gifts, and I mentioned I was going to talk to Mike about that. We did talk this week, and the things that Micah shared with me were really tremendous. And I told him that. I said, man, this is really, really tremendous. And next week, we'll have him share about that as well. If here I'm volunteering him to talk. Sorry, Mike. You and I'll talk. We'll figure it out. But I'm hoping that it will be on his heart to share some of that with you, because it ministered to me quite a bit. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Just two things left I'm going to read with you. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, just verse 1 and 2. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Can that happen? Can I receive God's grace in vain? I don't know. But it just said that it's urging me not to do that. So probably I better pay attention to that, right? Probably I better pay attention to, I don't want to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, here's the important part. Just hear this little piece right here. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I don't know what that means to you. Okay? It's just an incredible scripture. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of his salvation. That doesn't just mean come down and say, I want to get baptized. His favor. It means that too, but it means this is the time of God's favor. If his voice is speaking to you, tell him to keep talking. That's what I'd say. 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. 2 Timothy, say it again, Tom. You know what? Come on, here, Tom. I want the folks up north to hear what you're saying. So come up here and say it so they can hear you. Tom's just asking a question. He's going to come up and say it in the mic.
I'm just saying, could you explain what that means exactly a little bit more in detail, not to receive God's grace in vain? I'm not quite.
Okay. Let me just go back to it real quick. Okay, so the Lord brings his word to us, just like he's bringing it to us right now. And you and I have a choice. First thing we have to figure out is, am I even buying this? What am I doing here? Am I here because I think I'm supposed to be here, or somebody else wants me to be here? I mean, okay. I mean, let's say that's the case. But when he sends his word, so why am I here to begin with? Secondly, do I even buy this thing about, oh, Jesus is walking on earth and he's right here among us, and his word is living and breathing? Do I believe that? Well, if you do, then he must have you here for a reason, right? I'll use me. He must have me here for a reason. Today, and that goes back to the first part of this, because it says, now is the time of God's favor. Now, right now, if it's a living, breathing word, I can turn to that, but you know what I'm talking about. God's word is living. So this was written, who, maybe 2,000 years ago, right? So 2,000 years ago, this was written. But God's word is living and breathing right now, and it's talking to us right now. I'm not talking to you. God's word, God's spirit is speaking to all of us. I'm learning along with you, right? I knew what scriptures we were going to read, but I'm hearing it right along with you. So it's living and breathing. The second part of it that Tom's asking about is, oh, wait a second, Tom. About receiving God's grace in vain. Okay. So the second part of it is, now is the day of salvation. So this is the time of his favor. So now we go back up to what Tom's asking about. We urge you not to receive it in vain. We're receiving his grace right now because of the living, breathing word. How can I receive it in vain? You're sitting here listening to me talk for 20 or 30 minutes. How can you receive it in vain? I'll read it to you right now. This is out of James. You're very familiar with it. James chapter 1. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Don't come here and just listen, right? And deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. It's really hard for me. I'm older than all you guys are, okay? So that's a big part of it. It's really hard for me to listen to something like this and retain it. So if you listen to this, if you want to retain it, then when you go home, you don't have to listen to it again. Although we have that opportunity now because of this ministry right here. Go listen to it again if you want. Go home and reread these scriptures. Go reread them and say, okay, Lord, I read this, I heard this spoken to me. I'm going to read it again. What have you got to say? What do you have to say to me? Because I don't want to receive God's grace in vain. We're receiving God's grace right now. But you got to do something with it. And that's what this says in James. It says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he heard, but doing it, will be blessed in what he does. So that's really a lot of what it is. Now, if anybody else has anything to share about that, whether it's right now or later, that's fine. Roger or Dan, do either of you have anything you'd want to share about this? You don't have to. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just asking. I want to give the spirit a chance if you do.
Yeah, Dave, check out 1 Corinthians 15:10.
Great. You guys got that?
I'll read it for him. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was within me.
Okay, good. You guys want to say anything further about it?
Yeah, in that version that Roger just read, just that the grace that God gave me was not in effect. So we can receive God's grace in vain if we don't put it into effect for its intended use. And in my New King James Version Bible, it says it was not in vain. So that's kind of how I found that verse, was a common word. But we can receive God's grace in vain if we don't put it into effect.
Good. That's, thank you very much for sharing that. Okay. And thanks for asking, Tom. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and we'll be finished. 2 Timothy 1. Okay. This is, to me, big stuff. I have always liked this passage, and I think this is really important to what we're doing, because we're not just a bunch of individuals here. Well, let's just read it. 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flames, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. God, did you hear that? Okay. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. That's really important. That's our spiritual life. We've talked so many times about the spiritual timeline. You know, my life didn't just start in 1957. That's when I was born. And it's not going to end whenever I pass away. My life goes back to the beginning of time, and it goes forward. There is no end of time. My life is eternal, just like Jesus is eternal. And this is telling us that right here. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And that is Paul speaking. So thank you very much. Let's pray together, okay? Father, we just ask you to be with us. Help us to receive what you've sent us today, to put it into effect, to do the things intently that you have shown to us. Help us to continue to seek your word out. And bless us now, Father. Watch over us. We thank you, Lord, for loving us and bringing us salvation and an eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. It's my job to bring the prayer request today. If we could please allow the folks up north to bring their prayer request first. Now is the time to bring it before the Lord, and we'll lift it up this morning.
Yeah, can you lift up Seth?
You got it, Raj. Seth, we'll lift him up.
I believe that's it.
That's it, Raj? Okay. If you're on the Zoom screen, go ahead and feel free to unmute yourself. And if you have a prayer request for us to pray this morning, let us know. Okay, that's fine. We'll open up the floor this morning for prayer requests. I have already some things. I have kids camp. Start praying for that and our first meeting coming up. Anything else? For healing. We're going to lift up Carol this morning for healing for her. Okay, new car and a new ankle for Kevin. Sounds good, Luna. Thank you. We're going to lift up Kevin and his family, okay? Mom. Okay. My mom would like a direction for her work right now. Valerie. Yeah, Shiloh. For Skylar and for your dad. Sure, we're going to lift up James and Skylar. Praise for them. Thanks, Shiloh. Skylar and James. Yeah, Michael. Yeah. We're going to, Michael's prayer request is for Patrick and his whole family and that whole process for delivering them that home. So thanks, Mike. Dave. Tim and Sam. We're going to lift up Tim and Sam this morning. T. Absolutely. Dee's prayer request is for direction for the ministries with her kids, her grandkids, and the people here. We're going to lift up Alex's home and for Carmen, his mother. I have my own prayer request. It's just a prayer of thanksgiving for Dee. Dee's always fan things into flame for me. And Larry did that before, and she's been doing it ever since. So thank you, Dee. I have a scripture for us. But I'd like you all to go and close your eyes and go before the Lord. I heard the scripture this morning before I heard any of the teachings this morning, and I feel very impressed to share it. So I'm going to read this scripture, and then I'll say our prayer requests before the Lord. John 6, chapter 6, verse 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for Seth. We lift him up. We lift up the meetings coming up for the kids camp, for the kids and the things they always bring to us. And for the teachers for that camp, Father. We lift up Carol for healing. We ask prayer for Kevin and his family. We lift up my mother's will for the Lord's direction for her work. Thank you for Skylar. Lift up him and James, his father. We lift up Patrick, Father, and his whole family. We ask that you bless that family, that wonderful home. We thank you for Tim and Sam. We lift them up to you. We lift up Dee and her ministry to this body. We lift up her ministries to her family and her grandchildren, Father. Thank you for Dee and all that she means to us. We lift up Alex, his family, his home, and for Carmen. All these things we lay at your feet, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.